好嘞，当然说，他说，他也让我们这个女，今天去见面，发现被这个那个刚刚这样对，俺爹，俺那这个工作讲究什么工？明冬衣，冬衣工作，他说俺因为穿着些冬衣工作，对呢，俺那你见面这个把这个我们说。上级国王退给兰州局员给巩固了些这个，那点那个东西工具，那都这巩固了些些这些，那点那个徐新八些，
Tree's coming. Okay, I'm here. Okay, so Yesterday we spoke about transforming problems onto the path to enlightenment, and we spoke particularly about how to utilize the meditation on emptiness to transform all problems and obstacles that we encounter onto the path of enlightenment. Yesterday we came up to the point in the third outline. We came to the sixth line. The fourfold practice is the supreme method, and there we had looked of the first of the. We looked at the first of the four, that of accumulating merit. And now we'll continue with the second, purifying negativities. What is the method for purifying negativities? Well, whatever negativity we've accumulated, or however we've accumulated a negativity, all negativities can be purified through the application of the four opponents' powers. When in our life, we tend to encounter problem after problem and difficulty after difficulty. It really seems to, and sometimes we go through stages where this is really compounded and it just seems to be overwhelming. And at that time, it's usually much easier for us to turn our mind towards the suffering that we are experiencing and think about, why am I going through all of this right now? And so the reason, as we come to understand karma, we get to see that the reason that we experience difficulties, certainly both the gross as well as the subtle ones, is due to negative karma that we ourselves have accumulated in past lives. So with that awareness, we need to recall the negativities that we've accumulated. Now, we don't possess the ability to recall what we have done and when we have done it in previous lives, but we are able to recall the negativities that we have accumulated in this very life. And we've engaged in such negative actions usually because of being unaware of the laws of law of causality, of not having the minds of refuge and the minds of bodhicitta present in our continuum. And so being aware of that, we generate the first of the four opponent powers, the power of regret.
Then you better that didn't get the wedding in Jaman is 삼비게다 담자 힐린지야다 자오기는 지메야다 간레지 강아 테스나게 되니기 샬레 녀바다 되니기 두 두바세 디빌레 자오기는 지메 삼비게다 힐린 되니 담자 샤야데라 녀발라 미도부 톱나고라 라 미도부 톱
Having so generating this powerful and stable mind of regret for the negativities that we have performed, we then, with a strong with an awareness of the suffering that comes from negativity, we make the firm commitment that we will never again engage in such negative actions, because we don't want to experience the suffering result that comes from engaging in these negative deeds. And this then is the second opponent power, and this is the power of the promise, or the power of restraint, where one makes the commitment to refrain from engaging in such actions again. And this commitment again needs to be powerful and stable, firm and stable.
The third
opponent power is the power of the base or the basis. So here one has visualized before oneself the three jewels, and one makes and before the three jewels, we visualize the three jewels before us, and we have an awareness that they are both aware of the negativities we have accumulated in the past, and so we have when we perform those negativities, it was in their presence, and now likewise, when we make the commitment to them that we will no longer engage in such negativities, then this is the power of the base. So here, this power of the basis is done in the presence of the three jewels, with awareness that they were present and aware of the negativities when we accumulated them, and now they have heard the commitment that we have made. So we've made this commitment before them that we will no longer engage in such negativities. Then we come to the fourth of the opponent powers, and this is the opponent power of the antidote. So we started off with regret, then we went on to restraint, then the basis, and now to the power of the antidote. And here, so now one engages in an activity so as to purify the negativities that we have accumulated in the past. So this can be a variety of virtuous deeds, whether it's doing prostrations, reciting mantras such as Om Mani Padme Hum, meditation on bodhicitta or on emptiness, or the practice of giving and taking. If one does any kind of virtuous action, then this serves as the power of the antidote, and serves to purify the negativities that we have drawn to mind.
That ko duk sawa dhenpa di tang ane nga ngay soso rana ngay dikwa cheba di dhen chi peden chikwa di tene ta ta chik shi tsare ane chik na dwe ta ngay shikira pe sa sa sambe nor sha sambe gyoba shiu kikirwa di da ane ngay dikwa sa pe ma si nor su jesha sa gyoba kia chik chia ane dene dene asin da gyoba di na kia gore sa wa ta dene mi chik shi tsa chik na shiro cha soso da gyoba kasi kikirwa kwa semte kasi yungurwa di na asin gyoba chik kukore sa tola Tene ki gyoba shuk chenpo leyo do anu kwe manaya tablam anu karchi girisne menpa ten, men sa di che do ko nazile dadu guruwa, nagimaruwa da, nazile gyob tu guruwa. Di nashin da goncho sum liya da, menpi ki tue di da goncho sum liya di. Sino nga, da yin tene che di, menpa liya nga karam duk tene saayin, kar kani chen dragire etla do, menpi ki di saagura etla giruwa. Sino di nashin, menpi ki tue di goncho sum liya soa da, tene goncho sum soa da. Tene, nene karchi girisne, That man is Tedela, and the mother of Manipe Mos Java in Nata, then a Jasu Sem Gomba Nata, then a Tonya Gomba Nata, this one, Tonya Gomba Nata, those Gombo, yes, Pedina.
If we take as an illustration three people who've consumed an equal amount of poison, one person then dies, another person is gravely ill, and the third person is fine. Now that person, is going to see what has happened to their friends. One has died, one is gravely ill. Immediately, they are going to be extremely concerned about what they've done and worried about the result that is going to follow. So this person then is going to generate strong regret in their mind for having taken this poison, and is going to now, with awareness of the result that is going to come from having taken poison, is going to seek out medical advice, and once having received that advice, will follow that advice very closely. So why will they respond in such a determined manner? And that's because of this clear and powerful awareness of the result that will follow from the action that they have performed. So similarly for ourselves, when we engage in this process of the application of the four opponent powers, this initial mind of regret is very important. So here we need to generate a very powerful and a stable mind of regret, because it's independent on the power of this mind of regret that the other three antidotes will be effective. Because if this mind of regret is weak, one is going to make very little effort beyond that. One may just recite some words, but it's not going to be much more than that. So similarly to this illustration with the patient, when we come to understand the Buddhist teachings in terms of causality, and we understand that the suffering that we are experiencing now is because of the actions we've done in the past, and the suffering that we will experience in the immediate future as well as in the longer term future is because of the negative actions we've done in the past and are doing now. When we have this clear in our mind, then the regret for the negative actions that we have performed will be very powerful. And our resolve then not to engage in these acts again will be very powerful. And it will be powerful, and it will certainly cut this path of habitual tendencies of acting in a certain way. So hence, you need this regret very strong to have a very powerful mind of resolve, a resolve of not acting in the same way. Then likewise, the refuge that one takes before engaging in the remedial action, as well as the remedial action itself, those two, the antidote and the refuge, these will be very powerful, again, coming from the power of the regret. So therefore, we need to spend, when we're applying these antidotes, we need to spend time in generating the regret. And when regret is powerful, then the others will follow in an effective manner. And when we come to the final stage, that of the applying the antidote, whether it's engaging in prostrations or reciting mantra or meditating on bodhicitta, emptiness or giving and taking, whichever method of these or others we choose to follow, this will be so much more effective because the mind is more powerful and more engaged.
Mm-hmm. 안 디솔이야 안 도마 푸고레스 도마 나 벤 디솔이야 안 콘조야 안 장나신 대화 대화 도마미 대화 찍바레 콘조 도마 요레 세상 고조를 강아지 태제 안 간조레 찍 찍찍거 엔자디네 엔자 닌지 선비 닌지고 닌지고 없네 되네 콘조야 안 찍게 한바 중앙에서 삼지 안 콘조 도마 도마치 도마치네 되네 안 갈라고서나 안 당이 dini kyorong liya an dus tu tura maji dus chigi jigyore simza kyorong nga ane chue chiba barsi chue cheba liya kyorong nga liya barsi maji ro chiyas barsi maji es dus sine jinche an ninji kumbu uriya la
And in the amongst the fourfold practice we've looked at the first two accumulating merit and purifying negativities and the third one is offering tomas to spirits So sometimes people do encounter obstacles or harm from spirits. So here, one the practice to engage in is to think about the situation of these sentient beings who are now harming us. In this case, they unseen sentient beings who are harming us. But the meditation is the same. It's to generate an awareness of because these beings are samsaric beings like I am, their minds too. Are dominated by deluded minds or afflictive minds. And it's due to these deluded minds that they are engaging in harmful actions, in this case, harming myself. And because they are acting under the sway of these afflictive minds, they are accumulating negative karma. And these sentient beings are now going to suffer so much more in the future because of the harm they're giving me. So generating compassion like this, we make offerings of tomas and the like to them and make the request that they don't know, that they cease from harming us in our Dharma practice and thereby they cease in engaging in this negative action. Amongst these the various classes of these unseen beings, there are those which are only harmful. There are those which have the ability to either hinder or to actually be of some small benefit, and this could be this would be because of karma they've accumulated in the past, and they have certain abilities and powers and the like, and they can impact on us. So it's to these kinds of beings that we make the offering of the Toma and we make requests that they don't hinder us in our practice of the Dharma. And we could liken this to our everyday experience with people, where if we make a positive connection with them, then our request to them, once that connection is formed, is going to be is much more likely to be fulfilled. So this is what we would do here in this third of the fourfold practice, but here it's with unseen beings.
다시 봐들래 최경서래 다 최경라데 다 숨만 오네 쳐버려 최경 다 최리야 직제한리야 로봇 체험 대수 숨마서래 다 디니 최경리야 도마포 대수야 도마포제다 쇼 도마포 디니 다 니가 최최바로 푸지 도마로 푸지 안에가 저거서는 당가 최제발이야 바세도 용배는 저랑 바세 송로체 바스메바서래 체스 당가 최제리 튕긴 고야릭지나 저랑 알려 로봇 체로체 사자
Then we come to the fourth of the fourfold practice, and this is requesting the Dharma protectors, or making requests to Dharma protectors. So here, Dharma protectors don't refer to yidams or meditational deities, but to beings which can help us in our Dharma practice. And so here we would make a request to them so this is quite a different class of being to what we saw before. So here we would request them to eliminate obstacles for us in terms of our Dharma practice, and whatever good conditions we require for our Dharma practice to help us attain those good conditions.
So
these Dharma protectors could be seen as similar to the bodyguards that surround His Holiness when He travels. So they just look after Him and make sure that no unwanted events happen. So it's something like this. Amongst Dharma protectors, we could say there are three different classes. So of those which are ordinary beings, those which are Arya Bodhisattvas and the like, and those which are emanations of the Buddhas. So those who are emanations of a Buddha won't necessarily look like a Buddha. Their form would be quite different. For example, if I wore ordinary clothes and dark glasses and went out into town, then outside I'd look like an ordinary person, but inside I would still have the vows of a monk. So similarly, these Dharma protectors who are emanations of a Buddha won't have the form of a Buddha, but they would still have the mind of a Buddha. Dharma protectors, which are emanations of the Buddha, so that they don't look anything like a Buddha, but their nature is that of a Buddha. So for example, if I dressed in normal clothes, I put on dark glasses and a hat and I went around town, everyone would just think I'm a lay person. They wouldn't be aware that that within me I have the monk's vows. But then if I met someone that I know from the Dharma Center, then they would know that I'm a monk, and although I'm outwardly dressed like everyone else, they would know that I'm a monk. And so this is similar to with the Dharma protectors, those who are emanations of the Buddha, in that they have a different external appearance, but in their nature, they are Buddhas. So that was the fourfold practice, which is the supreme method. And now the seventh line, whatever you encounter, immediately apply the training. And this outline, whatever you encounter, immediately apply the training. So this refers to the immediate and short-term obstacles that we encounter. So if we ourselves become ill, or if we've done something that we regret, whatever obstacle we encounter, to immediately apply the training of mind training. So for example, if we get ill, and our mind usually becomes quite consumed with the fact that we are ill and we don't feel so good, etc. So that's the time then to immediately apply mind training to this temporary problem, and apply the mind training to thinking how I'm not the only one who's ill. There are so many other beings who are ill, and there are beings who are ill in far more gravely ill than I am. And even and amongst those who are either as ill as I am or iller, there are many who do not have the conditions that I have. They don't have access to skilled physicians, or they cannot afford them. They don't have access to hospitals or the appropriate medication and supplementary care and the like that I have access to. So despite the fact that I am now ill and quite incapacitated, or at least have my ability diminished by this illness, there are other beings who, so many other beings in a similar or worse position. And there are of course others who aren't human and are suffering in a way that are greater than this. So being aware of the suffering of others, we then generate we then engage in the practice of taking on their suffering. With the motivation that, well, I am ill now, this condition has ripened on me, but let it not ripen on others. And those that it has ripened on, may that karma be exhausted upon me through me experiencing this illness. And we take on their illness and imagine that they become free of their illness. And then in return we practice giving, and we offer them our roots of virtue so that they can be healed, they can encounter the Dharma, develop their minds in accordance with the Dharma and progress towards the exalted state of wisdom. So in this way, we take the obstacles that we encounter and we apply the mind training to these obstacles immediately with the practice of giving and taking.
Hmm.
Continuing on with the text, so we come to the fourth outline, applying the essence or the practice throughout one's life. And the first line of that, the essence of the instructions summarized in brief. So this is now where we come to a summary of all the many instructions that we've had up to this point.
Mm.
So here we have in this the essence of the instruction summarized in brief, and here we have the four opponent powers. So the powers that we just heard about this morning, the power of regret, the power of the antidote, the power of restraint, and the power of the base. Okay, then here still in the fourth outline. So the second line, apply the five powers. So these five powers now are different to the four opponent powers. So to mention the five powers, the first is the power of determination. The second is the power of familiarization. The third is the power of positive seeds. The fourth is the power of maybe remorse or maybe revulsion. And the last one is the power of prayer. So I'll just say, read them again. The power of resolution or determination. The power of familiarization is the second. The power of positive seeds is the third. The fourth is the power of remorse or revulsion, and the fifth one, power of
prayer.
So the first one, the power of resolution or determination. So this is this determination to achieve Buddhahood in order to free all sentient beings from suffering. So this is the, this power of determination, and that, that to free all sentient beings from suffering, I will attain the state of a Buddha. So thinking about continuing to look at this first of the five powers. So here, if in our life we come to understand the variety of sufferings that we are experiencing, and we have an understanding of the origin of those sufferings, and therefore this perpetuation of cyclic existence, we will give rise to this wish I want to be free of this. I don't want this to continue. It's gone on throughout this life and previous lives, and unless I make the changes myself, it will not stop. It will continue throughout what remains of this life and my forthcoming lives as well. I don't want to suffer like this anymore. I need to bring it to an end. And in the same way that I'm suffering like this, all other sentient beings are suffering in exactly the same way. And they too are desperate to be freed from this continual state of suffering upon suffering upon suffering. So therefore, I make the commitment to free myself and to free others from this state. And to do that, I will engage in the practices of giving and taking, the cultivation of bodhicitta and the like, with the motivation to attain enlightenment for the state of all sentient beings. So this is what this first power refers to. It's this power of determination or resolution, making the motivation particularly strong, powerful, and stable. And the motivation is in terms of attaining Buddhahood for the sake of all sentient beings. Now, so that this is the first power. So we've now got this powerful and stable motivation. Then we go to the next next power, which is the power of familiarization. And here, familiarization is one of the words for meditation. So what it means is now we're engaging in the practice of cultivating bodhicitta, practicing giving and taking and the like. So here we're engaging, cultivating these practices or becoming habituated or familiar with these practices. These are all meditating on these practices. It's all translations of the same word. Meditating on these practices, becoming familiar, cultivating them, becoming habituated to them. So this then is the second power. It's the practice, the meditation on bodhicitta, giving and taking, etc. As we engage in this second power, this cultivation of these minds of these practices of bodhicitta, giving and taking, emptiness and the like, then we start to become very familiar with these practices, and what this means is these minds become quite present within us. So these minds of love and compassion, they become more present within us and more powerful in our meditation and our daily activities. And then this leads to the cultivation of positive seeds or positive karma, positive karmic seeds. And this is the third power, the power of positive seeds, or literally the power of white seeds. And so this refers to these karmic seeds for the attainment of the actual minds of enlightenment and the state of Buddhahood for the benefit of all sentient beings. The cultivation of these seeds has come about in dependence on the meditations that we did with the second of the five powers. So the third one is the actual placing of these seeds on the consciousness. Then the fourth one, we could call the power of regret, because it's the same name as we had in the four opponent powers. Sometimes it's called revulsion or disenchantment. So what this one is, so now we've cultivated these minds of love and compassion and bodhicitta, giving and taking, and then the practice of giving and taking. But now we turn our awareness to the suffering that we experience and the suffering of others experience, all comes about due to the mind of self-grasping. So this mind that grasps at a self as grasps at the person as being truly existent. That is that mind that grasps at the person as being truly existent is the mind of self-grasping. And from this come all the afflictive minds. So all the suffering that we experience and that others experience is due to this presence and dominance of this mind of self-grasping. So this is what the revulsion refers to, and it also refers to then acting upon this revulsion or this regret or remorse and engaging in the meditation on emptiness. And why emptiness? Because emptiness is the meditation on emptiness is the direct antidote to the self-grasping mind. So the realization of emptiness is what reduces and eventually will eliminate the cause of all suffering, the self-grasping mind. And this is what the power of regret or remorse refers to. And then we come to the fifth power, the power of prayer. So the sequence we've gone through so far with these five powers is we started with the power of resolution or determination, where we make our motivation to engage in this practice powerful and stable. Then we engage in the practice through the second power, that of familiarization or habituation. And here we engage in the meditations on bodhicitta, love and kindness, giving and taking and the like. And through engaging in this practice, we accumulate virtue, positive karma, and this is the third power. And here the seeds are placed on our continuum, so that's the third one, the power of positive seeds. Then we turn our mind towards the cause of all suffering and the cause of our enslavement or entrapment within samsara, and this is the self-grasping mind. And the antidote to that is the mind of emptiness. And so we cultivate the mind of emptiness so as to eliminate the cause of all suffering, the self-grasping mind. Now, having gone through these practices, we have, of course, accumulated a huge amount of merit, and we come now to dedicate that merit, and that is this power of prayer. So here we offer all the merit that we have accumulated, and we offer it to all sentient beings with the strong motivation that through this merit, that I've been able to accumulate this merit due to the kindness of others. I offer this merit back to them so that they can be freed of all suffering and attain the greatest of all happiness, that they can attain the state of Buddhahood. So in this way, all this merit we have accumulated through the power of prayer, we offer to all sentient beings. Then we come to the last two lines in this outline. Advice of Mahayana mind transference is the five powers. Value these practices. So transference, mind transference, or the Tibetan is widely known as apoa. So there are many meanings to this word. So here it refers to these five practicing, the advice which is these five powers is a practice of mind transference. So this word poa that we've possibly heard elsewhere, this has many meanings. So it can mean transmigrate, it can mean just to move, it can mean to develop, to progress. So there's many kinds of meanings. You saw again that indicating with his hand like this. So it has many different meanings. So how we should relate to it here is if we want our suffering to move away, then we need to engage in practice. And it's through applying the practices we've heard now in these five powers that our suffering will move away. And if we want to move towards the state of Buddhahood or transfer to the state of Buddhahood, then again it comes about independence on these five powers. So here the Mahayana mind transference is the five powers refers to applying these five powers and progressing through that. There is a type of meditation that Gen is going to describe now. It has a name, but I don't know the name, so I can't tell you.
I don't remember, but you'll remember. So there's the name of this practice is the name of a Buddha. So you'll remember, I don't remember. The Buddha's red in color sits in meditative equipoise. But I forget the name. In the direct translation from Tibet, Amitabha, thank you, is immeasurable Buddha. But Amitabha in Sanskrit, thank you. So that's the name of the meditation. Okay, Kenna.
So here the first step will be this first power, that of determination, where in order to liberate all sentient beings from all forms of suffering, I will strive for the state of Buddhahood. I will make the effort. So here is the first power, the power of determination, where we set a very firm and stable motivation.
Jamapja.
Okay, so I'm hearing about this for the first time, so please bear with me. So what we have here is how does the practice of Buddha Amitabha work? So you may know this, I don't know this. So we visualize eight peacocks, and eight peacocks are lifting up a throne. And on the throne is a beautiful red lotus. And on the red lotus is first a yellow sun disk, and on top of that a white moon disk. You can generally see on the tankas the deities will be sitting on.
Yes.
So the red lotus, yellow sun disk, and on top of that a white moon disk. So now visualize on top of this, we have the eight peacocks, we have the red lotus, we have the sun disk and the moon disk, and on top of that, we now have Buddha Amitabha. And Buddha Amitabha is so we have the former Buddha Amitabha, who in their nature is our root lama. So then Amitabha, the five points are marked with Om, Ah, Hong, So by the navel, and Ha down below. So Om on the crown, Om, Ha, Hong at the heart. Then at the navel we have So, and at the secret place Ha.
That 꾸들이야 팀소한테 매바 지고
이제 그러나 이름 기코라 때
이름 라떼 이름 먹고 여러 가지 나 되네 초 가서 여러 가지 처방 수 최진 마 팀소한테 매바 지고
이제 수능 같은 게 되게 나서 염문의 공
완전 예심에 되게 이간에 타들라 상이 처방 코로 처방 코로 외치 과투고 외처네 되 상이 초 주게 상이 이름 되게 수고 듣는 자외 라마 소소게 자외 라마 되네 시가 처방 수 되네 휴제 안 코로 두 번 마 팀소한테 매바 지고
And from Buddha Amitabha, light rays emanate out, drawing forth all the Buddhas, and they are again in the nature of one's root lama, and they enter and dissolve into the heart of Buddha Amitabha. So this then is the third opponent power. So here we are the power of positive seeds. So we've done the power of determination, and here is now the power of positive seeds. Then we engage, so that we got the power positive seeds, and now we engage in further meditation, where we confess all the negativities that we have accumulated in the past to Buddha Amitabha, and from the Buddha then, light rays are emanated, and they dissolve into us, purifying us of all our negativities, and also leaving the positive imprints. For the positive seeds, the positive imprints, for us to attain all the qualities of a Buddha. So I should have mentioned earlier when we're constructing this visualization, that would have been the second power, the power of familiarization. Now we're on the fourth power, the power of remorse or regret. So here we've done this visualization in terms of purification and attaining the positive seeds for our own enlightenment and the development of good qualities and the like. So that's where we've come to, and now we engage in the fourth power, the power of revulsion or remorse, disenchantment, and here we now engage in the practice of tonglen, of giving and taking. And now we engage, yes, as we heard before, in the practice of giving and taking.
And then he comes in down to give you a talk about the competitive to China. Did you go? Saboy to say, Sangroa, to say, Sangroa.
Saboy to
Saboy to.
That's all.
They see that this comes on the down to give a talk about the Yaya Tour, wasn't it? This Saboy to Sangroa.
Through this now practice of giving and taking, of course we're accumulating huge merits, we're purifying, and this then is again the power of positive seeds because of these imprints we're now placing again on our continuum.
Yeah.
And then we come to the fifth one, the power of prayer. So here is, we have this strong aspiration for all sentient beings to achieve Buddhahood and be completely free from all forms of suffering and attain all forms of happiness. And we make this aspiration that may this come about as quickly as possible. And in this is the power of prayer. And the reason that this practice is done with Buddha Amitabha is Buddha Amitabha is a meditational deity or yidam associated with long life. And so to, when people want to, it says when one wants a long, those who have a long life, it's that is dependent on the virtue they've accumulated. So yeah, one engages in this this practice with Buddha Amitabha. And at a time when we feel death may be approaching, maybe we're very ill, or for whatever reason we feel death may be approaching, then we we generate the mind of bodhicitta, thinking about for the sake of all sentient beings, I now will generate the mind of bodhicitta and strive for enlightenment for the benefit of all beings. And this then again is the first of the five powers, the power of determination. So here we are, now we're talking about a set that comes at the as the time of death approaches. And of course now that the time of death is approaching, we're probably going to be lying down. So the advice is to lie down in the lying posture. So one's lying on one's right hand side, and I was demonstrating it with one's right hand under one's right cheek with, I think this is the ring finger, this one here, I'm not sure, this finger here pressed against the right nostril, or just inside the right nostril, and so then one breathes through the left nostril. So now one's lying down in this lying posture, so you're similar to what we see with the Buddha statue. And yeah, one's legs are outstretched, one's legs are outstretched, right hand under the right cheek, with the ring finger placed inside the right nostril. And we breathe in through our left nostril. Then we turn our mind towards meditation, and we cultivate the minds of bodhicitta and emptiness, and engage in the practice of tonglen. And we can utilize the breath, but coming through in and out just through our left nostril. We have the large statue of the Buddha, the lying Buddha, the Buddha in lion posture outside here. So this is the posture that is being described. And so the reason that this was taught by the Buddha is because it helps with the subtle with the flow of the subtle energies.
Mm-hmm.
So we're a few minutes late again, so sorry about that. But we've really spoken about some important things which are quite clearly related to practice. So we started with continuing with the fourfold practice of purifying negativities, etc. And we ended up now with a description on the five powers, as well as a particular meditation relating to Bodhamitabha, as well as how to practice at the time of death itself. So these are some important practices, and it's really good if we can do these regularly. And then this afternoon when we come together, we'll start with the fifth outline, the measure of having cultivated mind training. Some questions at the back.
Om
Ah, hum.
So.
So. So at the navel.
Ha.
And ha down below. At the bottom, yes. Yeah. I'm gonna so kidacha.
Sanara sashi yu sashi yu diwala wasu shiore. Yu so.
So sanara so. Did dradam sanara so.
Jadan sanar so.
Jadan sanar so. Because then indicate talk about Jadan karere. S-O. The spelling of so will be S-O. Okay. Uh-huh. Om and the, yeah, ah. Ah. And then at the heart, either hum or hi. Okay. Hi. I can't pronounce it well. Yes, it's a different way to pronounce both. Yeah. I can't say hi very well. So I just stay with hum. And the so here and the one at the secret place, can it be tamak yankyar?
Sang
nyes wasn't it? Tama tama de tsik
ha.
Ha. And the last one was ha at the secret place.
Just
with
the
repeat. So when we lie down, do we breathe in and out through our left nostril because the right one is closed, or is there an, does one still alternate? Then again, I'm doing that. So, okay, gang le pong le niam le nje ju. Then I'm that. So, naku ikum nika pece tangi yare. Then I'm that. So, manel du. Then I'm that. So, majong kong le. That's so sangi nangsin manel du. Then I'm that. So, kili naku ki ikum di yepa di kagire. Deni ngato par rang sur ugjung nup du deni nakum chik pu pete dangi yere. Yeah, so we do breathing in and out just through the left nostril because the right one will remain blocked. So, yeah. The various different methods of purification, Vajrasattva wasn't mentioned. Is there a reason for that? Okay. Then top shin angola nato kari nyampo kuntu chope top. Then den angola kerang petin kari sung song. Yini kerang joji tempe ki angak de sung song. De jutsun yobe.
Sunga de jutsun me de ni chie me de chasan chie na de ji garu komna doji tempe komna de gora sa garu genga komna de gora de gora. So,
so,
So there wasn't a particular reason it wasn't mentioned. So whatever whatever virtuous action that you engage in can serve as the antidote. So as for purification, whatever virtuous action you engage in. So whatever, in terms then of, say, cultivating a deity or counting a mantra, if you have a particular affinity or attraction to a particular deity, then one can engage in that, and it can serve the purpose of purification. Brian.
What happens if
at the time of death? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So if someone is unconscious at the time of death, should we put them in the lion posture and close their nostril and the like? Okay. Then a mishempa drong tu. Dene kong jena, dene kong niku gyere di dwapore, jenpa sotna. Dene ma tsu kongi nakungi inku, nakugi ikum, de kagere kong sur yapa ma shagere di dan dwapore pe.
Da mikorong le samdaya da dene ge tonne men, da dene ge nzuge shamba se 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 se
For the practice to be effective, they need to be engaged in the practice. They need to be mentally engaged. So they need to be awake and present and doing some practice. It's not enough just to have the nostril covered. They need to be engaging in cultivating a mind of virtue. So what is primarily important at the time of death is the mental path that one generates, the mind that one generates. And the posture is not so important. Some people lie down, some people sit up. So, for example, lamas, when they pass and they abide in Thukdam for a while, in this meditative state after they are, I think, physically dead, one would say, then they usually are sitting up in meditation posture. So the posture is not primary. It's what one is doing with the mind. And just a sec. And then further for you, if one, for example, in terms of the purification practice, if when one generates the power at the base, so one goes for refuge and generates bodhicitta, if one is then visualizing a vajrasattva, then when one engages in the power of the antidote, one should recite vajrasattva's mantra. Or alternatively, if when one generates the power at the base and goes for refuge and generates bodhicitta, if one visualizes, for example, chenrutig, then when one applies the power of the antidote, then one should recite Om Mani Padme Hum, a Chenrutig mantra. And similarly, if when one goes for the power of the base, when one generates refuge and goes for and bodhicitta, if one is visualizing Manjushri due to feeling an affinity with Manjushri, then one should recite Manjushri's mantra. So like that. Okay. Maybe. Okay, maybe later. Are you a Chenrutig? Okay. Okay.
Another
What came about you to pass karma?
Whether the poison actually just wakes you up, or
just to understand, so are we talking about if someone actually takes poison, whether they become sick or die or not,
yeah,
or their mental approach to it?
Yeah.
Or their mental approach to it. So are we talking about whether someone becomes ill or not, or that they are able to generate the power of regret as opposed to just ignore what's happened and think they got lucky?
Yeah.
Maybe both. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, it's okay. That's good. Now I've got it. Thank you. Deni, nu mi kadeng pitsintik song song. Deni mi sum konto kuduk sana la sopa. Deni di konga kachi sopa mare yini kachi ni yosare. Deni mi chik dong song mi chik nata pok song mi shempo nata pok ma song. Deni kari teni di gyunje ne debe di chikje. Deni shempo konto samlo tang tang di nata mapoken. Deni mi kashi konso netan de nang lola yina konso kepio mare an aso de tempo yin de ne konso sempre ki kola sangi mare mi yine mi sempre konso ti tonga o ne chopa ni ne kyukare ti dan drop off de ne kare chene mi de di natsuma poken kewa nama kon mola mixo kyap song e yamena kare de ba
da di ung ra ti ni kwa den de sawa ine ji ti mangyo se che ba shung ru wa
So maybe just see it as an illustration, because in the actual world there will be different reasons if people take the same amount of poison, that they can respond differently. Their bodies could be in a different state. One could be very healthy, one could be a little ill when they take it, etc. So maybe just see it as an illustration. Okay. Thank you.
Dawa rimbo che ma che pana ma che yurje ye wa nyamba me ba ya tonye gondo be war.